All right, go ahead and grab your seats. I want everybody to take a look around. Take a look around. There is a lot more space now in this second service created by people who are trying out new things, trying out the first service, second service. We have created this space for you to begin to invite your friends, your coworkers, everybody. We're going to fill these bad boys up. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, it's amazing too at this service, more people are sitting towards the front. There's not fist fights over that back row. So, not yet anyways. Well, my name is... Yeah, in the first service there was. We had to, I think, raffle off some seats for the back row. Can you do that in church? I don't know. But, yeah. Welcome to First Church. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. This is Eric. If you would, when you came in, you were given a bulletin. If you would grab that bulletin, inside is just full of lots of information. We've got a bunch of announcements here on the inside cover. A lot of those announcements have been running on our feed on the screen. So if you're curious about any of those, there's some contact information for you to look at. We're needing some help with Spark. Spark is an after-school kids program that we do each Wednesday. Contact Sarah in the office if you want to know more about that. Also, at some point, if you would take your connection card, be sure to tear that out. Fill that out and drop that into the offering plate so that we can have record of you being here. And something else that we're also doing on the very front, the front cover where the announcements are. I know I'm kind of making you jump everywhere. But at the very top of that page, we have in bold our mission statement. And I'd like for everyone to just grab that. And if you would stand with me. And we've begun just reading that together, just proclaiming our mission as a church and what Jesus has called us to do. So at the very top of that page in bold, read with me our mission statement. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. That is our aim. That is our mission. That is what we are set to do. So if God is laying things on your heart, different ways of how we can achieve this mission, come talk to us. Bring that to us, put that on our hearts. So, Eric, do you have anything?
Nope.
You guys ready to worship?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's turn it over to our praise team.
God, we celebrate all that you do in our lives. Today is the day, and we celebrate your presence in our life, God. That's why we're here. We thank you so much for this church. We thank you for the blessings that you have given to us, Lord, and we thank you that you have given us those blessings so that we, in your name, may bless others. As we gather to worship you today, anoint this place. Anoint each of us individually with your Holy Spirit, God. Bring us healing. Bring us your presence. Bring us your love, your mercy. Bring us whatever we need, God. You know us. You know us so well. In many ways, you know us better than we know ourselves, God. So in a strong way, we ask for your powerful presence. We ask that you anoint us in a way that we ooze your presence, God. Strengthen us. Help us believe in ourselves enough that we can believe in you and others that are around us, God. Make us one with each other and one with you and Jesus for you.
Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
This time, I'd like to invite all of the kids to come forward for Kids Corner. And it is brought to you by two of my favorite hombres, Max and Chico.
All right.
So kids, come on up.
Hey, today I'm going to be singing, and then you repeat after me, all right? I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Come on now. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
My Sunday school teacher wants us to write a paper called What It Means to Be a Child of God. If we turn it in this Sunday, we get a candy bar, so I have to finish it soon.
So how's it coming along?
Not very well. I know that a person becomes God's child when they accept Jesus as their Savior, but after that, I don't know what to say.
Wow, that really is kind of a problem.
Do you think you could help me?
I can try.
Thanks.
One thing that comes to mind is whenever I'm sad, my dad is there to comfort me. I can climb into his lap and tell him what's wrong.
Yeah, my dad's like that too.
If my earthly father is caring and understanding, don't you think that God is even more caring to his own children?
Of course.
Then Christians should never hesitate to tell God, their heavenly Father, what's going on in their lives. Like a parent, he will give them the love and comfort they need.
Wow, I never thought of that. What else can I write?
Let's see. Have you ever made your parents upset?
Me? Never.
Max?
All right, I guess I have once or twice.
Were you afraid that they didn't love you anymore or that they didn't want you to be their son?
Of course not.
Why not?
Well, they're my parents. They always love me, no matter what I do. And nothing can ever stop me from being their son.
That's right. And it's just the same with God. Once somebody is his child, they're always his child.
But what about the people who sin?
Some people are afraid that they can lose their salvation. But that's not what the Bible says. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." When a Christian sins, their fellowship with God is broken, but they're still his child. He'll always forgive people when they confess their sins. He loves them unconditionally.
Wait, let me write this down. He loves them on what?
Unconditionally. That means that whatever they do, he still loves them.
Hey, that's pretty cool. Any other ideas?
Do you think that you look like your parents?
Well, I have brown hair like my mom, and whenever my grandma comes, she says I look more like my dad every day.
Since Christians are God's kids, shouldn't they look more and more like him every day?
But aren't Christians adopted? I mean, they weren't always God's children. They became children of God.
That's a good point, but look at my little sister. She's adopted, but she acts like my mom. That's because she spends so much time with her.
Don't tell me if people spend time with God, they'll start to act more like him.
Hey, you're catching on pretty quick.
Is there anything else?
As a matter of fact, there is. Nobody in the Old Testament called God Father. That's a privilege that believers today have only because of Jesus.
Wow, Jesus is awesome.
He sure is.
Let's see, is that everything?
I'm sure there's a lot more about God that I don't know, but this is it for now.
I guess I'm done then. Oh, wait. I thought of something you didn't.
Impossible.
No, I really did.
What'd you think of?
When I was at the store, this stranger came up to me. She said, "Hey, are you Larry Miller's son?" I said, "Yes, how did you know?" She replied, "Because you look like him."
Yeah?
Well, I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if a Christian was at the store and a complete stranger could tell that they were God's child just because they acted like Jesus?
Hey, that would be cool. If Christians spend time with God, they will conform to his image, and people around them will see a difference.
That's the perfect ending for my story. I'm sure I'll get it done on time now and get that candy bar. Thanks for all your help, Chico. I couldn't have done it without you.
No problem, Max. Hey, kids, don't forget to get your cups to collect change for missions today.
Grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And once you have that, once you have John 21, if you would hold your place and please stand with me. As we say our Bible pledge, raise your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive.
I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
In John chapter 21, starting in verse 10, the gospel writer John writes, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
You guys take a seat.
Good morning. A golden anniversary party was thrown for an elderly couple. The wife was moved by the occasion and wanted to tell her husband just how special he was to her. He was very hard of hearing, though, and often misunderstood what she said. With many family members and friends gathered around, she toasted him, "My dear husband, after 50 years, I've found you tried and true." Everyone smiled with approval, but her husband said, "What?" She repeated louder, "After 50 years, I found you tried and true." Her husband bristled up and shot back, "Well, let me tell you something. After 50 years, I'm tired of you too." I promise that's not my mom and dad. You know, it's important to remember that no matter which is your primary love language, no matter which is your primary love language, communication is very important. Amen? And maybe I should say listening is very important, but that's a part of communication. Well, as I said last week, I am so excited about this teaching series, and I hope you are able to take what we focused on last week and apply it to your relationships immediately when you walked out of this church. If you remember, we talked about how easy it was in the English language to misunderstand the word love. If you remember right, between Greek and English, Greek has several different words that mean love, mean different things. But still are a form of love. In the English language, we have one word, right? Remember I said I love my dog and I love pie, right? I can't remember what I compared it to. And I can't remember. Someone was sitting right here. Maybe it was Ray Chapin. And I said, "I love you and I love my wife." And I said, "Hopefully those are two different loves, right?" But still, it's the same word, isn't it? It's the same word. And so there are many different ways we use this four-letter word, love, right? We also looked at how the meaning of love is learned and how it changes from family to family by what we've experienced, you know. So like in the church, most of the time we have to define or redefine what people understand love to be like. Or maybe we should say we have to tell them what we mean by the word love. That agape love, that self-sacrificing love. And finally, we moved into Gary Chapman's love languages and began with the language of words of affirmation. And I hope if you don't have this book, you're considering getting it and following along. It's a great book. The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman. There are several different versions. Don't get confused. Even the same version has the same or a different phrase here underneath the title. So The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman. If you'd like to get that, make sure that, I would suggest you get it. It's a great book to have on the shelf. So last week we talked about the words of affirmation, and here are the five love languages. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, Gary talks about within words of affirmation, there are like three dialects, and they are encouraging words, kind words, and humble words. And the example I use, for instance, for humble words, hey, honey, you know that cherry pie that you make so well? Do you think you'll have some time this week to maybe make that pie? I just love it when you make that. Good way to ask, all right? A bad way to ask. You know that cherry pie that you make, honey? I don't think we've had that since the baby was born. Do you think I'll get it before he's 18? Bad way to ask. Humble words. Use humble words. Encouraging words, kind words, humble words. Does that make sense? Today I want to move on to one or two more love languages, quality time and receiving gifts. Quality time and receiving gifts. So if we were, you know, you may be asking, Eric, why in the world did you use John 21 when Jesus, he has been resurrected from the dead and he's standing on the shoreline when the disciples have been fishing all night and they haven't caught a thing? How many here have been fishing all night and never caught a thing? Yeah, there you go. And Jesus says, hey, folks, why don't you put the net on the other side of the boat? Now I can see it tonight. Everybody's going to be going from one side of the boat to the other, fishing. But anyway, fills up the net with fish, right? Because of that miracle, his disciples recognize who he is. And Peter, of course, being who Peter is, jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. Now that's pretty amazing. Because in that day and age, they thought all evil and monsters lived in water. So that tells you something about Peter's Christian walk already, even at that point in time where he had overcome those fears. But anyway, so they all come to shore, and Jesus says, hey, why don't you cook up some fish? And he says, as a matter of fact, I've already cooked up a few fish here. Why don't you start eating, guys? So now, if you were to say, tell me, even if you don't think you know what these five love languages are, which do you think Jesus supplied to his brothers, his disciples, his friends? Was it words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch? Yeah, I think so. He definitely challenged Peter on which one. You know, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. If so, what did he say? Feed my sheep, right? And so which one of those do you think would fit in that category? Acts of service, right? So Jesus challenged Peter in that way, right? Obviously, too, I mean, to the disciples, Jesus had died and was resurrected. This is the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. All right? So that in and of itself is a pretty amazing thing, and they understand fully that he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to share his time with them. And so that's definitely a gift, isn't it? So, and, you know, we don't know all the words, but I'm sure there were words of affirmation. And in that tradition, they would kiss both cheeks. And so I'm assuming, too, that there was some physical touch involved. But today, what I want to focus on that Jesus shared with them is quality time. Jesus shared with his brothers, his best friends, his disciples, very quality time. Now, something I've heard many times in my ministry is some form of this statement. Now, I want you to listen and see if anyone can identify with this statement. You know, my husband is a good provider, but he doesn't spend any time with me. What good are the house and the recreational vehicle and all the other things if we don't ever enjoy them together? Has anyone heard some form of that statement before? Boy, you all are good. I'm the only one with my hand up here. Well, I tell you what. Don't worry, you're in a safe place. You won't get in trouble. If anybody gets in trouble today, it's me, and you'll understand later on. If we were to translate this wife's words, what is this woman's need? What is she wanting from her husband? Quality time, right? She's not saying, she's not talking down about being the good provider, is she? She's just saying, hey, I just need something different, something more in that regard. So quality time, and by quality time, that means giving someone your undivided attention. Think about it this way. When you sit on the couch, or you sit across from the dinner table, or whenever you give each other 20 minutes of your undivided attention, you are giving each other 20 minutes of your life. 20 minutes of your life. That 20 minutes will never happen again, just the way it did. That is 20 minutes of your life. What a gift that is, to give 20 minutes of your undivided attention. Now, some of you sitting up here in the front row and scattered throughout may be thinking this is only for husbands and wives, but I want you to consider. Man, you got to memorize these five love languages, boys, because guess what? When you date somebody, same thing applies, right? Quite honestly, these love languages apply to you together as well, guys to guys. Jesus and his disciples. That's another reason why I chose that scripture. Because these love languages work for friends, for like brother type friends, like Jesus and the disciples. They work for husband and wife. They work for couples that are dating. You see what I mean? So everyone, no matter what relationship it is, these love languages work. And we may not want to call them love language, although it is a form of love. You know, two guys hanging out together may not want to call it, hey, what's your love language, bro? Right? You know, and we're not into bromance here. But anyway, you know, it works. Whatever you call it, understanding another person's what we call love language, or what Gary Chapman calls love language, it works. It works. So now I want to tell you, oh, no, I skipped something here. Men, now you can breathe easy. You can breathe easy here, guys. Quality time does not mean that we have to spend our time together, our together moments, gazing into each other's eyes. All right? That's not what this is all about at all. I hope that makes some of you guys feel better. Maybe some of the ladies as well. I don't know. But it means that we are doing something together and that we are giving our full attention to the other person. The activity is incidental, right? Does that make sense? If a husband and wife play golf together, for instance, maybe you like to play golf together. If this is together time, if this is quality conversation, you know, you could score 139 and it will not make any difference. Because you're there, why? To spend time together. To laugh about that shot that goes in the rough. And not care. Right? Because you are there for one another. Maybe it's fishing. You could not catch a thing. You're waiting for Jesus until you put the nets in on the other side, right? No, you could not catch a thing and you'd still be fine. Why? Because you're fishing to spend time together. Does that make sense? You could go to a bad movie, right? And it would be okay because you're spending time together. Of course, I don't like movies too much because you can't talk, right? Or at least for the other people in the theater, you shouldn't talk. So, but anyway, so it has to do with not what you are doing. It has to do with that you are together and that you're doing that together, whether it's tennis, golf, you know, maybe basketball, maybe run. I don't know. Whatever you like to do as a couple together. That's the point. In this time together, there is quality conversation, which is different from the first love language, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation focus on what we are saying, right? Whereas quality conversation focuses on what we are hearing. I hope you can see the difference there. I want to tell you, maybe confess to you a little bit about an issue that I have regarding quality conversation. And I want to see if anyone here can identify with me. You know, I asked Jamie, just in case you're wondering, I asked Jamie if I could share this today. And quite honestly, it probably would apply to my boys as well in this situation. So don't worry about, I do have permission to share this, all right? There are times, far and few between, I assure you, that that Jamie will come home after a frustrating day and talk to me about her day with passion. Whether something went wrong or something went right and she didn't like how it went. You know what I mean. A frustrating day, and she'll come and she'll tell me about it, and she will be very passionate about it. I'll never forget the other night on the football field. She was talking to me, and I don't even remember what it was about now. And she walked off. And one of the coaches says, "Boy, she was giving you the riot act, wasn't she? Because she was doing this." But no one could hear what she was saying, right? She was telling me about a situation earlier on in the day, but you know, if you don't hear the conversation, no one knows what's going on. So, but anyway, she was passionate about it, right? About something that happened. Now, as any good husband does, because I care for her and love her so deeply, I don't want her to be frustrated, do I? And so I proceed to tell her what to do to fix the problem. Does anyone identify with this? Yes. Now, I can only speak from a guy's perspective. I'm sure there are ladies out there that do the same thing. But here's the question. What is Jamie really wanting from her husband? What? I think I heard it louder from back here than I did from out here. Yes, to listen. She wanted me to simply listen, to lend a sympathetic ear. Right? And I mean, don't get me wrong. I think in a way guys are wired to fix things. So you know, don't. It's not all bad, right? But guys, you need to understand, and I'm sure there's women out there too, you need to understand that about yourself, and sometimes you just need to listen. You've just got to lend that sympathetic ear. But for some reason, I haven't figured out if it's because I'm listening so intently. I haven't analyzed whether it is the tone of voice that's being used that puts me into that mode. You understand what I'm saying? Or what it is, why I think that way. But any time I have to really pinch myself, I don't know if anybody else is this way, not to get into that mode of, well, honey, come on, you got to go say this or do this or think this way next time. But that's not what she wants. Now, most of us are well-trained in speaking. I mean, we even take classes in school, most of us, on how to speak, right? And our parents tell us the correct language, at least these parents tell the correct language, you know, ain't a word, right? And stuff like that. And see, even I use terrible language, stuff like that there, right? I mean, you know, so we are taught how to speak and what not to say, but very seldom do we ever learn or are we ever taught how to listen, how to listen. And here are some practical tips. Here are some practical tips. Maintain eye contact when you're listening. Maintain eye contact. Now, speaking personally, if I don't maintain eye contact, guess what I'm thinking about? Well, I was talking about the other 1% of the day. No, yeah, football could be. 69-0, MU Tigers, wow. But anyway, we won't mention KU. But there'll be a time this weekend, Oklahoma MU, I'm sure it'll be rough. But anyway, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm thinking about a conversation that happened during the day. Or that didn't happen that I wish I could have had during, you know, there's a lot of things ticking around up here, believe it or not, some of you may disagree with that, that whenever Jamie's speaking with me, I got to maintain eye contact so that I don't float away in my thoughts, all right? So we need to maintain eye contact. Number two, don't listen and do something else at the same time. Ouch. You can't read the newspaper and listen, or read a book and listen, or watch the news and listen. I've tried, believe me. It doesn't work. Or text, yeah. Or Facebook, or whatever. And if you think you can, you are sorely wrong. Trust me. Don't listen and do something else at the same time. Remember, we're talking about quality time here. Listen for feelings. Listen for feelings. Now, if you are speaking to your spouse and their face is red and veins are popping out, right? You pretty much know and understand what their feelings are, or you're totally blind, right? So, listen for their feelings. Sometimes it's harder, and sometimes it is easier to listen for feelings. Observe body language. Observe body language. Are you observing my body language, buddy? That's my son, if you don't know. So, observe body language. Oh, you know something I forgot to mention on listen for feelings. I didn't ask for permission on this one, but I've told it enough. First couple weeks that Jamie and I were married, right? We lived in Altamont, Kansas. Where did we live? Yeah. No, it was actually in Miami, Oklahoma, wasn't it? And I woke up in the middle of the night, and Jamie wasn't beside me. And I thought, what in the world's going on? And I walk out there to the kitchen. She's sitting at the kitchen table. I said, Jamie, what's up? Why aren't you asleep? And she says, I am so mad at you. And I said, why? What's going on? What happened? We were having an argument, and you didn't even know it. Right? Anybody ever experienced something similar to that? Yeah. You got to listen for feelings. You have to observe body language, all right, to understand what the other person, and probably guys are really bad about that. Sorry, I'm kind of laying it heavy on the guys, but from my perspective, maybe I'm really bad at that. The fifth one, and another tough one, is refuse to interrupt. Refuse to interrupt, especially those people who want to fix. Because, you know, this is statistically a statistical number. 17 seconds after you begin listening, you stop listening, and you think about a resolution. So, you've heard the first 17 seconds, and it's not necessarily your spouse. It might be a workmate or a friend, right? It's the first 17 seconds you have tuned in, and then you tuned out thinking about how to fix the problem. Right? So refuse to interrupt, whether that's your thoughts or vocally interrupt that person. Refuse to interrupt. So let's say these together. These are ways we listen, all right? Maintain eye contact. Don't listen and do something else at the same time. Listen for feelings. Observe body language. Refuse to interrupt. Now, if you are an individual that has a hard time expressing yourself, and you're married to or dating someone who has quality time as their primary love language, did you follow that? You have got to train yourself to have quality conversation. Guys especially have been trained that it's not cool to show emotions. Most of us in this room, probably when we were younger, whether it's a teacher or a parent or an older sibling or whatever, we have been maybe shedding a tear. Oh, guys don't do that. Guys don't show emotion, right? Or you've been sharing your feelings and you get chastised because you've shared your feelings, right? Or you become angry because something was frustrating to you. And what happens when you become angry and you act out in class? You know, it's interesting, the educational system, and I love the educational system. My parents are teachers, my grandparents were teachers, my sisters are teachers, my wife's a teacher. I mean, you know, it goes on and on, right? How many generations, I don't know, are teachers in my family? But if you have sons, be aware, the educational system is based on a female way of learning. To sit in a classroom and learn is a female way to learn. Guys don't learn that way. Guys are hands-on. Rambunctious learning. You ever wondered why you get more out of your son when you're shooting a basketball and talking than you can sitting across from the table? That's not how we think and do things, right? That's just the way we are. Now, I'm not giving us excuses, but what I'm saying is you have to work more closely and carefully with boys when it comes to education, right? So we act out a lot. We get frustrated a lot, and we are told, what are we told in class when we act out? Sometimes we're even sent to the principal's office, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah. So we just need to learn that it is okay. Most women that I have ever spoken with, actually, I could probably say all women, but surely there's one or two in there somewhere, like a man, love a man who is manly enough to show their emotions. And so all the people that have told you, guys, to not show emotion, I've never met one woman in life that you're going to spend most of your life with that would ever want a man who never shows emotion. Matter of fact, many counseling hours have taken place. Why doesn't my husband share their feelings with me? Okay? So just know that, guys. Women, in the most part, want a guy who will share their emotions. That is a form of intimacy. So emotions themselves are not good or bad. They're neither good nor bad. They are simply our psychological responses to the events of life. Now, you have different personality types. Whenever I lived in Dearborn, we lived in Dearborn, and I was pastor up there, pastor parish relations team chair, her name was Betty Creek. You want to know how I remember her name from so many years ago? The first day I was at that church, she came up to me, and she's about a lady about this tall. She says, "Eric," she says, "I'm the pastor parish chair, and I want you to know, I'll give you a way to remember my name." She says, "I want you to think of a babbling brook, and you'll remember my name." And I said, "Well, ma'am, what's your name?" "Betty Creek is my name. Betty Creek is my name." Now, where did the babbling come from? I learned she never shut up. Right? She just babbled all along, and she knew that, and I loved her for it, right? And she, Babbling Brook, Betty Creek. I still remember it after however many years that has been. But different personality types. On the extreme, you have a babbling brook, and on the other extreme, you have what Gary Chapman calls Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is something where all the water runs into it and never runs out. All right? And it's the Dead Sea because it evaporates and all the salts are left, right? So now I'm not implying that this person over here is like the Dead Sea. What Gary is saying is that things come in through the eyes and ears and yet they don't share them. Versus Babbling Brook, guess what happens? Whatever they see, whatever they hear, guess what happens? Sometimes they got to call people if nobody's around to share. Right? Now, the interesting thing is many times the Dead Sea personality and the Babbling Brook personality are attracted to one another. You want to know why? You know why, don't you? Yeah. Man, I went out on a date with this girl, and I don't like to share very much, but she talked the whole time. I didn't have to stress myself out about it. Right? And the Babbling Brook's saying, "Oh, it's so awesome. I found a guy that'll listen to me." Right? Yeah. I mean, but the interesting thing is, 5 years into the marriage, guess what? The Dead Sea guy is, or in this case, guy, doesn't have to be a guy. "Man, I know too much about her. I wish she'd shut up." Right? I mean, honestly, I'm being honest here. Babbling Brook, "You know what? I don't know if my husband loves me. He never shares with me anything." Right? So guess what Dead Sea's going to have to do? He's going to have to learn to share. Especially if quality time is Babbling Brook's primary love language. Because if you spend quality time to each other, you're either staring at each other's eyes or you're having quality conversation with one another. Does that make sense? All right, so now there's a lot of space in between those two extremes, isn't there? But all of us need to learn to talk to one another. Okay, really quick, receiving gifts. The next love language is receiving gifts, and I don't want you to misunderstand. This is not about buying someone's love. Some, probably many of us, are wired so that we feel appreciated when a gift is given to us. Amen? I mean, don't we all feel appreciated when a gift is given to us? It is so much a part of humanity that in most cultures, when something is given, it's so much a part of humanity that at weddings, something is given and something is taken, received. Right? In the United States, what is that? Rings, right? 90% of couples exchange rings, or even more than that, at a wedding. Something is given and something is received, because it is such a deeply innate thing in humanity to give and to receive. It is a sign of love. Now, there are gifts that cost money. What are some gifts that cost money? Cards? What's something else that costs money? Flowers? What's something else? Huh? Jewelry. Okay. Dinner, right? What are some gifts? Well, let me put it this way. There are some gifts of self. What are some of those gifts that may not cost money? Cleaning the house. There you go. You can still give a card, can't you? You can make it. Especially if your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, whatever, is a penny pincher. If they're a penny pincher, and you buy one of those, what do you call them again? Those cards that talk.
Oh, hoops and yo-yo.
Anybody ever seen those cards? I love them. I can spend hours in Walmart listening to hoops and yo-yo cards, right? But they're like $5. So you listen to them in Walmart. No, just kidding. But if you are married, for instance, to a penny pincher, and you give them a $5 card, what are they thinking? Oh, thank you, but man, we could have bought lunch at McDonald's for $5. Right? Right? But that person, if you make a card and give it to them, man, that even reaches deeper, doesn't it? In their being. So yes, there are ways of giving yourself, sacrificing something of your own to spend time with your spouse. And you know what? I searched high and low for a better example, but he has an example of this that I want to share with you. It's on page, if you have the book or think about getting the book, it's on page 87. If you want to write that down so you can spend more time. Now this is Gary Chapman talking about this. It is a great example of giving of self. There is an intangible gift that sometimes speaks more loudly than a gift that can be held in one's hand. I call it the gift of self, or the gift of presence. Being there when your spouse needs you speaks loudly to the one whose primary love language is receiving gifts. Jan once said to me, "My husband Don loves softball more than he loves me." "Why do you say that?" I inquired. "On the day our baby was born, he played softball. I was lying in the hospital all afternoon while he played softball," she said. "Was he there when the baby was born?" "Oh, yes. He stayed long enough for the baby to be born, but 10 minutes afterward, he left to play softball. I was devastated. It was such an important moment in our lives. I wanted to share it together. I wanted him to be there with me. Don deserted me to play softball." That husband may have sent her a dozen roses, but they would not have spoken as loudly as his presence in the hospital room beside her. I could tell that Jan was deeply hurt by that experience. The baby was now 15, and she was talking about the event with all the emotion as if it happened yesterday. I probed further. "Have you based your conclusion that Don loves softball more than he loves you on this one experience?" "Oh, no," she said. "On the day of my mother's funeral, he also played softball." "Did he go to the funeral?" "Oh, yes, he went to the funeral. But as soon as it was over, he left to play softball. I couldn't believe it. My brothers and sisters came to the house with me, but my husband was playing softball." Later, I asked Don about these two events. He knew exactly what I was talking about. "I knew she would bring that up," he said. "I was there through all the labor. And when the baby was born, I took pictures. I was so happy. I couldn't wait to tell the guys on the team. But my bubble was burst when I got back to the hospital that evening. She was furious with me. I couldn't believe what she was saying. I thought she would be proud of me for telling the team." "And when her mother died, she probably did not tell you that I took off work a week before she died and spent the whole week at the hospital and at her mother's house doing repairs and helping out. After she died and the funeral was over, I felt I had done all I could do. I needed a breather. I liked to play softball, and I knew that that would help me relax and relieve some of the stress I'd been under. I thought she would want me to take a break. I had done what I thought was important to her, but it wasn't enough. She has never let me forget those days. She says that I love softball more than I love her, and that's ridiculous. You see, he was a sincere husband who failed to understand the tremendous power of presence. His being there for his wife was more important than anything else in her mind. Physical presence in the time of crisis is the most powerful gift you can give if your spouse's primary love language is receiving gifts. Your body becomes the symbol of your love. Remove the symbol and the sense of love evaporates. Isn't that powerful? Physical presence is so powerful, especially to anybody really, but especially to a person whose primary love language is receiving gifts. So, quality time and receiving gifts. I hope that we've gone through four of these now, and I hope that you're finding yourself in the mix. Two very important aspects of love, and we have got to understand these. Quality time and receiving gifts. Actually, we've gone through three. I apologize. Words of affirmation was the third one. Next week, make sure you invite your friends. Like Justin said, this is a service that's made intentionally for you to invite your friends and workmates and family. But next week, we're going to be talking about the love languages of acts of service and physical touch. So as we add to this context of the five love languages, I hope that you will be here and bring your spouses and friends as well. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, God, for people like Gary Chapman, Lord, who has used the gifts that you have given them to come up with these ideas to understand ourselves, our spouses, our children, our friends better, God. We just ask that you anoint us fully with your Spirit so that we can continue even deeper understanding ourselves and others, God, so that we can love better. As a church, God, I pray that you will continue to push us, help us, Lord, love better. May it truly bother us in Jesus' name when we don't get that love right. Help us ask for forgiveness and do even better next time, God. We love you so much, and we thank you for all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you stand with us and let's sing Hear Our Praises as the praise team leads you.
The mountains.
I am so excited today. We have a couple folks that are joining our church. One, I'm sure, will surprise you because she is such a faithful person here today. And Brenda and Merlin, will you come on forward? What an awesome day it is when we have, I believe it's an awesome honor that God has given us to be able to baptize and introduce people into the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, let's kind of make a semicircle here. No, you can face me, Merlin. That's good. That's cool. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is a moment in the Christian community when we recognize and celebrate the grace of God living in each of us. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Baptism is a belonging of God claiming us as His own. It is a beginning of a lifelong journey. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledging what God is doing for us and affirming our commitment to Christ's holy church. Brenda and Merlin, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? I do. Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Congregation, would you please stand with us today? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust in God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be the true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen. Please be seated. I think I'm going to have to get new glasses.
Yep.
Yeah. Would you hold this for me? Come over here. Let us pray. God, our Creator, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. As we baptize with water, Lord, baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that what we may be and what we may say may be your word, and what we do may be your work, Jesus. By your power, may we be made one in Jesus Christ in common faith and purpose. Brenda, would you come forward? Would all of you like to surround Brenda? I'll let you hold this in case it drips. Brenda Kreisel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Brenda, work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Merlin? Would you all surround Merlin as well? Merlin Easter, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, work within you, Merlin, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Brenda and Merlin, as a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? The membership covenant that you sign states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship. And I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it?
Would you guys turn and face the congregation, please? Members of the household of God, I entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. Please say with me. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As worshipers together with you in the body of Christ and in this community of the First United Methodist Church of Warsaw, we celebrate your decision to become a member of this church community. We prayerfully support you and look forward to your journey together. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. That in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Brenda and Merlin are now received into the love and care of the church. See what love God has given us that we should be called children of God. Let's celebrate and give them a hand for coming in today. Merlin, congratulations. Brenda. Oh, thank you. Blessings to you guys. Hey. Brendan, Merlin, would you be willing to stand with us after the service and let people greet you? Awesome. Thank you. If you would like to join in on that journey, we have newcomers class. The next one will be Sunday, September 25th from 1 to 4. You are more than welcome. If you're curious about First Church or you're considering membership, you are more than welcome to be a part of that.
As we continue just with our hearts focused on the Lord in just a worship sense, I'd like to invite our ushers right now to come on up and we begin our offering time. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you've done. God, thank you for your word, God, your leading, your direction. God, we just glorify your name. We magnify your name. And Lord, let this be a small token of what we can give back to you. We know all that it does for us. We know that it binds us away from, further from this world. And God, it connects us closer and closer to you. So, Lord, we just give you praise in that. We honor you. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence and that you were able to grasp hold of something today that you can take with you on your journey as God is with you in this. Now, something I want you to understand, and you know it, we've said it often, but I want to remind you, because you are what?
Child of God.
And folks, you are never. Go from this place with that confidence. And as we learn these five love languages, may you experience that in your life. May you finally realize that you truly are not alone as you begin to understand others and as others begin to understand you. So go from this place knowing that you are a child of God and you are not alone. May you truly experience God's presence in your life. May you experience His shalom. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.